values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, thanks so much for being here. Final hour of the show for this week as we are rolling toward the holidays. There's a local story we're going to get to in a moment, but I want to talk broader about policing and law enforcement. Now, what would most people, I want to know what you think in your mind. I wish I could I have a show of hands right now. What do you think is the number one cause of the smash and grab robberies we're seeing? What do you think is happening in our world that is motivating these robberies? What do you think that it is? And I look at this and I think, you know, it's fascinating to me to see what's happening because of the excuses that are being made. There is, I want you to hear first from the LAPD chief talking about suspects in L.A. that were arrested for these smashing grabs.
In the 14 arrests that have been made, all the suspects taken into custody are out of custody, either as a result of one juvenile or the others as a result of bailing out or no bail, zero bail criteria.
So when you look at this, when you see what's happening and you think, well, why are people being let out of jail? Well, to me, that's part of the reason. You have a no bail policy. You have a no bail policy that says that if you commit a misdemeanor or you commit a crime like this, you've got to give them, you got to let them out. Well, what's the punishment? What's the fear of retribution? That's a part of it, are the rules and the laws that are made or the things that aren't enforced. Locally, before we get into anything specific about this local story, do we have enough cops to make arrests? Do we have enough cops to investigate crimes? Do we have enough prosecutors to prosecute crimes? Peter Ducey was asking the press secretary, Jen Psaki, from the White House about what the root cause of these crimes are.
Presidents still think that crime is up because of the pandemic.
I think many people have conveyed that, and also one of the reasons that crime, one of the root reasons crime, root causes of crime in communities is guns and gun violence, and we've seen that statistically around the country.
Right, to your point, so when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic, yes.
So they are blaming the pandemic on the looting. And the other cause of crimes are guns. The guns are the cause of the crimes. Smash and grab robberies are happening because they found a loophole. And we know that criminals find loopholes all the time. There have been scams that have happened. The advent of the internet has, now we have internet crimes. There's a reason why technology continues to progress, because the better you get technologically, the better the hackers get and the better the criminals get. There are, my brother runs my brother is a cop in my hometown in Florida, and he runs crimes like the fraud crimes, these kinds of scams and other crimes. He, in his unit, investigates those. And do you think that's because of the pandemic? No, none of this is because of the pandemic. It's because we have given control of the asylum over to the inmates. We are saying that if you commit some kind of a crime, we're not going to punish you. We are going to let you go. So if you're one of these 14 people arrested in L.A., they are smashing into stores, stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of goods. They get arrested for it, and they get turned back on the street. A, it's frustrating to law enforcement. When someone is released from custody, before the cop arresting them is done with the paperwork, it's frustrating to law enforcement. The revolving door of the criminal system, and I'm not the only one who thinks this way. There are plenty of people that are frustrated. String of violent crimes committed by career offenders leaves communities nationwide outraged. The guy that ran over all those people at the parade, that guy was a career criminal. He had no business on the streets. None. And yet he was. So here's an idea. I want you to think about this. Four police officers in Phoenix have been denied immunity over a fatal arrest attempt. And the details of this can't go unnoticed. This was a guy that had a cardiac, he had cardiac arrest under police control. When the autopsy was done, it was found a couple of things. He had a cardiac condition. He had a heart condition. This guy had a heart condition and five times the toxic level of methamphetamines in his system. Five times. And then when he wrestled with police, he died. Now, it's horrible that he died. How do you hold the police responsible? And they didn't. But now the family, who got a $5 million settlement from the city of Phoenix, now wants to go after the officers individually. And a judge is saying that they just might be able to. Now, if you take that immunity away from a police officer, that will be it. The defund the police movement will be successful without even having to get a vote in a city council, because no one's going to do that job. There's no one that's going to risk their, not just their career, but their life savings, the future of their family, and subject themselves to a lawsuit to save you or to save me. They're not going to do it. And I don't blame them. And in this case, in all of these cases, we allow the people that allow people out on parole, judges that give a suspect a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. They are not subject to lawsuits. So if this guy that ran all these people over, let's use the same mentality. This guy that's run all of these people over at this parade, is he going, are the family members that were injured or killed by this maniac that hit ran these people over at a parade, are they going to be able to go back to the parole board or to the judges or whoever it was that let this guy back out on the street? Can they go back and sue them because they should have known better? The answer is absolutely not. We have, and this is happening over and over and over again in the city of Phoenix, we have an attitude at the city council level, much like a lot of the very big cities that we've heard this happen in, and it's the only city in the valley that's doing it. What we are going to suffer in Phoenix very soon, and I feel bad for many Phoenicians, is criminals will be more and more emboldened. This is how crime works. It's with any other predatory behavior. There's a reason why you need a sheepdog to keep the wolves at bay. And when the wolves know they've got free rein, the wolves eat. And we're going to watch crime escalate in the city of Phoenix because they will prey upon people. And they will continue to prey upon people. That is what predators do. So you want to be the Wild West? I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't. I am prepared. I have firearms in my home. I keep a shotgun next to my bed. I never want to use it. I you know what I want to do? I want to take it out once in a while. I want to clean it. I want to reload it. I want to make sure it's ready to go. And I never want to use it ever. I don't ever want to use any of the handguns in my house. I don't want to use the AR-15s in my house. I don't want to ever have to do any of those things. But if you want to go for everybody fends for themselves, and that's the path we're going to be on, that's what's going to happen. And the weakest among us, the most at risk, the highest, those are the people that are going to be in the most amount of trouble. And it's coming. It's coming if we don't rectify this anti-police attitude. We do something called Did You Hear This? We do it every single day at 11:20 to get you caught up on the biggest news stories and the biggest headlines of the day. We're going to do that next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's get rolling. Catch you up on the headlines. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
All right, we'll start with the NFL, Mike. Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown suspended three games for producing a fake vaccination card. Now, his former personal chef apparently ratted him out. And here's what former Arizona Cardinals linebacker Emmanuel Acho had to say about Brown's actions on Fox Sports.
It's selfish, it's stupid, and it's arrogant. In addition, it's dumb because the reason we have all found out is because you didn't pay your chef $10,000. And so now he out here wet snitching on you because you owed a man or a woman some money.
All right, so what's worse, Brown producing a fake vaccine card or a spurned former employee ratting him out?
It was dumb of him to do. Again, I love team sports, and I love this. Football is my favorite game because it's such a team sport. Individual effort, team sport. You got to work together. That's what I love about it. In a situation, you're in an organization, you're being paid all kinds of money, they set rules in place. You agree to the rules. Let's be honest. You agreed to the rules. And then you break the rules this way. I think he's right. Acho is right about it being selfish. As far as being a rat, you know, that's just vindictive and mean when you're going to rat somebody out. But what do you expect? You owe somebody 10 grand. I'd rat a lot of people out for 10 grand. And so I feel bad for the team. I don't feel bad for the player. I hope he learned his lesson.
And I believe he has a history of not paying employees as well.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
No. All right, starting next week, asylum seekers will again need to wait in Mexico for their hearings. As part of a court order, the Biden administration is making some changes from Trump to address humanitarian concerns, including resolving cases within 6 months and ensuring access to legal counsel. However, Kino Border Initiative's Gio Del Pino isn't happy with this.
This doesn't make it a more humane policy. The policy in itself is fundamentally wrong.
Do you agree? Is remain in Mexico inhumane?
No, I don't think that it's inhumane. I think that the living conditions are very poor. But if it's supposed to be, and it was used in the past, the MPP was being used in the past as a deterrent from people coming here. If you are going to improve the conditions and you're going to make it a nice place to live, you're not going to stop people from coming here, which was the original intent. Not only that, so this is going to be the incentive for the Biden administration to reduce the wait time for asylum seekers? This is it? You mean we were going to keep it at a year or two until now they have to wait in Mexico? Now you're going to expedite the process? If I was a legitimate asylum seeker and I am being kept in line with all of these people who have no business in line, I would be furious. Those are the people we should be focused on. What can we do to reduce the number of people that have no legitimate claim from coming here in the first place? That's what they should be trying to do. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at this time. Get you caught up on the headlines. What's next, Jeremy?
Phoenix Suns, winners of a franchise record 18 games in a row after holding off the Detroit Pistons last night in downtown Phoenix. Guard Campaign, he scored a team-high 19 points last night.
I mean, I guess it feels good, but it's just like, man, we got another game tomorrow. Just got to keep going. Just 1-0 today. That's how I feel, for real.
Yeah, and they're going to try to extend that streak tonight at Golden State, but they'll be missing Devin Booker again. Do you think the Suns will catch the Lakers' all-time record of 33 straight wins set back in 1972?
Nope. Different league, different time. Don't think it can happen. As much as this team is playing as well as they are, they don't have Devin Booker, and at some point, and I think these guys saying one game at a time is the way to go, because the ultimate goal is to win an NBA championship. It's not to set some record for wins in a row. So if you focus at something like that instead of at the bigger picture, I think that's, first of all, it's the wrong thing to do. They have too much leadership in Chris Paul to do that. They have such a great coach that's going to keep them focused on the greater goal, which is you play great in this game. Don't worry about records. I think they're going to be just fine, but I don't think anybody's catching that 33. Game win streak. No way.
And finally today,
the stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart.
All right, billionaire Mark Cuban doesn't just own the NBA's Dallas Mavericks. He's also the proud new owner of Mustang, Texas, a 77-acre town located 55 miles south of Dallas. It has a population of zero, down from 21 a decade ago. Cuban paid a reported $2 million for Mustang, but has not yet decided what he's going to do with it, seeing as how there's literally nothing there right now. Mike, what do you think Cuban should do with the town, or what would Mike Broomhead do if he owned a small town?
Make it a theme park. Make it a theme park. Why not? You know, put in a Ferris wheel. Either that or what you could do, because Texas has some great hunting. Why not make it a hunting resort? Why not make it an upscale hunting destination? That might be a cool thing to do. By the way, every time that song is played, I just think of Pee-wee Herman and Pee-wee's Big Adventure at the Alamo. But I just... Mark Cuban, I don't know. You bought a town. Maybe change it to Cubanville. Call it Cubanville. And make it a theme park. Like Dollywood? Make it Cubanwood. How about that? Let's make it a theme park.
That's a good idea. It's the smallest town in Texas in terms of population.
Now everything's big in Texas.
Not Mustang.
Not Mustang. How big is it? Small, what was it? A
77-acre town. Nobody lives there now.
77 acres?
10 years ago, 21 people lived there. The last business that was there was an adult entertainment club that shut down 4 years ago after a shooting took place.
All right. Well, you should have led with that because I have plenty of jokes I would have told about that occurrence. So that's Mustang, Texas. All right, that'll be on my next trip. Next time I head out to Dallas, I'll find my way to Mustang, Texas. See if I can't get a bumper sticker and a T-shirt. What we're going to do in a moment is the local education stories of what's happened, and we're going to talk a little bit about this because it's important in the long term. I think parents are waking up that some of them aren't liking what's happening in the school systems, and that when they spoke out, they were being ignored, and they aren't being ignored anymore. So the fallout of a couple of the major education stories that have happened here in Arizona, we'll talk about those in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. You know, parents have the expectation they send their kids off to school and their kids are going to go to learn. If their kids aren't learning, it's because their kids are acting up and they're not paying attention. And many parents are finding out that that's not the case. That's where these questions come from in public education. I guess I should keep clarifying because I want to be very, very clear. I have the utmost respect for teachers. This is not about teachers. What I don't like is the business of education. It has become not just an industry, a multi-billion dollar industry. When you look at teachers' unions and the power they have and the millions and millions of dollars that they give to politicians and political causes, and you look at the complete and utter discrepancy between which political parties they give their donations to, you see that it's an industry. When you see the amount of money that, and for all of the people out there that talk about teachers not making a whole lot of money, when you look at the obscene salaries of union members, union leaders, and it's an industry, there's no doubt. So when I talk about education, educators are the people that I'm fighting for. When I earlier this week, we talked about the safety plans in the high schools in Phoenix, in the Phoenix Union High School District. And it's because the Phoenix Union High School District is having a big issue. And no one wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to deal with it. And then we heard about a shooting at Cesar Chavez High School. And thankfully, it was only one person was shot, not a multiple people like we saw in Michigan. And that this young man is going to survive. But it was over a gun deal. They were negotiating the sale of a ghost gun in a bathroom at a high school in Phoenix. Now, having school resource officers on campus, would that have solved that problem? We don't know that to be true. I said that from day one. But it's the attitude where you are letting the inmates run the asylum that is the problem. And that has been the problem. So it wasn't just at Cesar Chavez High School. I had minutes of a meeting where teachers at another Phoenix Union High School were complaining and asking this board, this committee that advises the principal, to run drills on their safety procedures because, as the teachers were saying, we don't feel safe here. So I want to start there. It's not me going after the schools and the teachers. I'm hearing from teachers because they don't feel like they have a voice. There are teachers that are saying, look at how many incidences we have on campus. Some of them criminal, some of them not. But you are seeing excessive numbers in high schools about defiance of authority, fighting, arguing, skipping class, kids sleeping in the class and then won't wake up, kids roaming the hallways, kids doing things they're not supposed to be doing. And what it does is it diminishes the ability for a quality education for the kids in the school that want to be there to be educated. I was a troublemaker in school. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't a violent kid. I was a goofy kid. I was the class clown. I didn't take my life seriously at all. I barely do now at 54. I just found out today, 54 and a half. I was just given a gift for my half birthday today. I'm now officially 54 and a half. Do you remember when you were young enough and excited about getting older that your half age counted?
Yes. Well, I have an 8-year-old at home and
perfect.
A 6-year-old, so they keep track.
8 and a half, 6 and a half.
Yes.
Right. So yep. I'm 54 and a half.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're
going
to treat yourself this weekend?
I am. I'm going to go take myself to a birthday lunch today somewhere.
Congrats.
But when you... I didn't take my life very seriously, so I didn't let you take yours seriously. So I was disruptive in a funny way. I was the class clown. I was always the one that was goofing around. I always had a joke to tell. Kind of like here. You know, it's kind of like I am here. And I was disruptive in school because I didn't take it seriously. And there were people there that did. Well, the dean of students at my high school pulled me in the office with my mother one day and said, "Hey, Mike, you know, high school's not for everyone." They asked me to leave high school. You know, go into the military, because back then you could. All these other options they were giving me because they didn't want me to be a disruption. The problem we have in schools today, well, there's a number of them, but the biggest one is they don't get rid of the troublemakers. The troublemakers run the show. They cater to the lowest common denominator. And what you see happening is the kids that excel aren't allowed to excel because we can't have grades, because we can't make the bad kids feel bad. And all of these things are creeping in and parents are figuring them out. Parents are starting to figure out, because of online learning, they were hearing what some of the teachers are teaching. They're looking at curriculums and seeing some of the things that are in there that they don't like, that they don't think they are conducive to a quality education. So in Michigan, these parents of this kid that did this shooting have been charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter because they should have known, because they knew that this kid was troubled. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but is anybody at the school going to be investigated for that too? Of course not. Why not? Because ultimately, teachers and school administrators are not responsible for how these kids turn out. The parents are, but they don't have control. They should be quiet and let the professionals educate them. I heard someone, and I saw the analogy by someone who I thought it was someone that was a professional in education, somebody on a school board, saying, when you go to a doctor, you don't tell them how to do the surgery. No, I don't. But I go to multiple doctors and I get multiple opinions. And yes, I will tell you, you can't hold me down and force me to have surgery. So, yes, I will tell you when and if you will have performed surgery on me. But that's the attitude of a lot of people that don't want to be questioned as education professionals. So much so that the National School Board Association apologized to their members, not to the parents, calling parents domestic terrorists because they dare stand up and get angry at a school board meeting and demand things be changed. All of this, of course, I'm mentioning because of what happened in Scottsdale. The former president of the school board, but still school board member of the Scottsdale Unified School District, was caught red-handed with his father, and they have a history of it, of keeping a dossier on parents that were disagreeing at meetings. And it was personal information. Turned out not to be criminal, because it's publicly available information, but why would you compile it? Why would you compile it? There's no reason unless you're going to try to smear these parents. So you can't argue with their argument. You can't debate them on the issue. So what you do is you go after the person that's conveying the issue. So if I go into a school board meeting and I start citing what my problems are with the way you are doing business in the schools, and you can't argue with me that it's happening and it's the wrong thing, what do? You damage me. You marginalize me. You make me out to be crazy. I'm a horrible person. That person's been divorced. Look what happened in this one's divorce. Look what happened. Didn't you file for a bankruptcy? So what this father did in the past was start a website. And what he did was go after and mock the former school board president in Scottsdale. And he got caught red-handed doing it and had to admit it. And the son, who was the school board president, played the dumb card. I can't help what my dad does. He's has a right to it. He can do what he wants. I'm not saying I agree with it, but he can do what he wants. So dad's out there slamming anybody that's disagreeing with his son and gets caught. Now, dad's accumulating documents and data on parents that are disagreeing in the school classrooms or disagreeing at the school board meetings. So what's happened here across Arizona is parents are paying closer attention. And what is going to happen is parents are going to start saying, we are going to reward and support and make sure we cultivate relationships with school boards that listen to us. Reasonable people don't have to be agreed with all the time, nor do they want to be. They want to be heard. They want that when they do have a justifiable complaint, they want that complaint taken care of. I'll give you an example. Paradise Valley School District. They had a principal that is now an ex-principal. Why? Reading assignments. There was a book as part of their summer reading assignment, and this book was filled with pornographic descriptions and depictions in the books. And it had no business being in there. And the parents didn't think so. The school board said, you know what? You're right. Shouldn't have been there. They fired the principal. That is a school board responding to the legitimate complaints of parents. When the Scottsdale school board saw what happened with the school board president, the board got together and said, you know what? You're done as president. We can't throw you off the board because you're an elected official, but you're no longer going to lead this board. And they threw him off as the president of the board. And we are seeing parents more and more around the valley and around the country standing up at school board meetings and saying, you are not doing this to our children anymore. What you are going to do is respond to us. You're going to respond to what we want our children to learn. And if you're not, we will vote you off. You have awakened a sleeping giant. And for all the great teachers out there that just want to be educators, not politicians or political pawns, you're going to have a much better life. Because I believe we'll focus on education now and not indoctrination. And it's coming. It's coming. And it's coming quickly. One more segment. I want to talk about a program. And I was going to do this yesterday, but the president was speaking. I want to talk about something we did the other day. It moves my heart every year. I'm going to give you a chance to hear about it next.
I remember when I wasn't just any room, but the family room. And then they got Cox panoramic Wi-Fi. Now that there's Wi-Fi in every room, they barely visit me. They're doing yoga in the basement on their tablets. I remember when the basement was our fun. At least they still have fun together.
Connect anywhere in your home with wall-to-wall coverage from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. In certain cases, Panoramic Wi-Fi pods sold separately may be required for extended coverage. Restrictions apply.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
And thanks for being here. I touched on something earlier today I want to kind of expand on just for a moment, and that is kind of who we are. The division in this country is about the good and the bad, and it always is. And if you disagree with me, you're all of a sudden bad. We have moved away from the ability to say you're wrong without saying you're horrible. If I disagree with you, you're a horrible person, and that's what happens. And it's something that doesn't happen with someone you know. It happens when we talk in generalities and groups. Republicans good, Democrats bad. Democrats good, Republicans bad. It's not right or wrong. It's good and bad. It's evil. It's except that's not who we are. The example I used earlier, and that's where I want to go with this, is we talked about St. Mary's Food Bank and what's happening with them. Over Thanksgiving, they had a severe shortage of the turkeys they needed to feed families because so many people are in need this time of year. So we put the call out and you responded. And I've had personal friends and other people that just listen that jumped in and they donated. We had people that donated over at Phoenix Police Department at one of their precincts, at Desert Horizon Precinct, and they jumped in with, I think, over 1,000 turkeys. So they got St. Mary's Food Bank to their goal. And I asked the question then, do you think it was only Republicans that gave? Do you think it was only Democrats that gave? Does it matter? And it doesn't. We have something going on that I'm a part of every year, and got to be the 10th or 12th year I've been involved with Operation Santa Claus with Sanderson Ford and ABC 15, our news partner. And what's great about this is all of our disagreements can go away. I was down there the other day on ABC 15 for the kickoff for this Clausathon they're doing, and we're partnering with our station, our sports station, Arizona Sports, as well. And the ability for us to give five great organizations benefit from this, but so do you. So do I. Your ability to help people. First of all, Sanderson Ford has assembled five great, reliable organizations that are so good in the communities that they serve. And it's such a diverse group of people that they serve. St. Mary's Food Bank is one of them. SARC, which is a Southwest Autism Resource and Research Center. It is also Military Assistance Mission, Special Olympics Arizona, Chicanos Por La Causa, and their charitable arm. And every one of these organizations, you can donate toys, brand new toys, unwrapped, brand new kids' clothing, non-perishable food items. You can donate money. You can go to any UPS store. You can go to Sanderson Ford or Sanderson Lincoln. But the point of this is no one cares. When I was at the dealership, there is a woman that donates dolls every year, and she had the entire back of a pickup truck and then spilling out onto the floor with dolls that she has started out donating a year or so ago and has increased more again this year. I don't know what her politics are. I have no idea, nor do I care. When I see a kid's bike, when I see clothing, when I see food, I don't ever think, and I don't think you do either, was that donated by a conservative or a liberal? We don't think in those, and we never should. What I think about is the community that we're in right now, and that it's tough for a lot of people, and it seems to be getting a bit tougher financially. But when the call goes out for giving, this community has always responded. I've never felt compelled to go on the air and say, hey, St. Mary's Food Bank is short on turkeys, where I doubted that we were going to get someone to respond, not because of the show, but because of what this community is, that people in this community are giving. And I think we have givers' hearts. And sometimes when we get involved in the political discussions, it becomes so vitriolic and nasty that we forget how much we care about each other and how much good we can do together. So I'm involved every year with Operation Santa Claus. They don't pay us to do this. We do it because it's such a labor of love. Great organizations where you know that when you donate, every penny out of every dollar is squeezed out of that donation. You know that these are deserving families and kids that are going to have a Christmas they might not otherwise have. And so that's why I love this program. So it is a pitch for the program, and my hope that if you're able to, and to some degree, you'll be able to donate. But more than it being a pitch for that, it's about who we are as a community. I know you're probably a lot like I am. You give when you can. You give where you can. You just want to make sure it's to someone that's reliable that you're going to give it to. And I think that's what I want to remember as we're heading really headlong into Christmas, is this is who we are. We're going to argue about the other stuff. We're going to wrestle with what's best to do and how best to do it. But in the end, when there is a need that comes to our attention, we're a community that fills that need. Whether it's hungry people, people that need clothing, medical assistance, whatever it is. And I don't want to lose sight of it because I'm going to continue my fight. I'm going to continue the argument about schools and about law enforcement and about taxes and about the border. All that stuff is very important. But I don't want to be mindful of who I'm talking to. And I hope you're not, you know, you're never lose sight that we're all in this kind of together. So Operation Santa Claus, if you have an opportunity to jump on board with it, check it out at givetotheclaws.com and have an opportunity to give there. And I hope you'll give generously if you can. Out of time, at Broomhead KTAR on Twitter, or if you're looking for me on Instagram, Mike Broomhead, all one word. I would love to keep in touch with you and kind of follow each other. We can do that there. We'll be back Monday at about 8 o'clock. Have a great weekend, everyone. God bless.